All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Tesvav 15. We are picking up on Yodal Amad Beis 14b at the bottom, Mishnah, Ba'ones Umefata. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Alan and Sue Meyerowitz on the occasion of a birth of a brand new granddaughter, Baruch Hashem, to their mamish. This is like hot off the press, right, to their children, Mindy and Simcha, Baruch Hashem, this morning. Mazel tov, shibizocha miratz Hashem, legadla latora lechupa olamasim tovim. Mazel tov. And our shiurim this month are dedicated by David and Roberta Schwartz in honor of the members of the kila. And I will say with that, let's begin. Ba'ones of mefata lahaki lahachim. In the cases of ones and mefata, so there is a kula and a chumra. So remember again, ones is a case of where a man violates a woman. Mefata is the case of where a man seduces a woman. So the Gemara Mishnah now says that these cases have elements lakula and lachumra. Ketzad, echad sha'ana sapita sagdolo shebekuna, ve'esakatana shebeyisrael nosin chamishim slon. So we'll say, so again, whether a man seduces someone, the example we give here is someone who is the daughter of the most prominent Kohen or the daughter of the most simple Yisrael. The penalty is the same. It is the same 50 sloim. So we'll say independent of the girl's social status, right? And independent of her place in Am Yisrael, the penalty payment ultimately, again, for violating her is the same 50 sloim. However, v'haboshes v'hapigam, right? Also, the Mishnah introduces a very interesting idea over here, which is although there is a flat fee, so to speak, right? I should say a flat knas, a flat penalty payment, ultimately, excuse me, thank you, ultimately, again, of 50 sloim, halacha lemaisa, there's an element of boshes and pigam. Boshes means humiliation. Pigam literally means depreciation. That ultimately, again, there's a loss in personal value. That loss, ultimately, again, depends on the person and their social standing. So halacha lemaisa, again, as much as the 50 sloim fee, or penalty, is the same irrespective of who the girl is, the boshes and the pigam. Ultimately, thank you, official. Boshes and pigam will depend on who the girl is and the family she comes from. Amai, so the Gemara says, how do you know that there's boshes and pigam? Emo chamishim slama rachmona mikomili. Maybe the 50 sloim penalty fee, penalty payment, ultimately, again, for ones, is an all-inclusive payment. Who says that there's an independent payment for boshes and pigam, for humiliation and depreciation? Maybe that 50 sloim is a catch-all penalty. Amar Rav Zeira, Yomru Baal Bas Molochim Chamishim, Baal Bas Hayotos Chamishim. So Rav Zeira says, it doesn't make sense that a man, if he violates a girl from a very prominent family, should pay the same fee as if he violates a girl, ultimately, again, from a very simple family. The idea being, Rabosai, that what Rav Zeira is saying is, there are other ramifications of him violating this girl. There's the 50 sloim, which ultimately, again, is the knas, is the penalty payment for his actions against the girl, against the nara. But there's also the impact of his actions on the family. And those actions, that impact of the family, are felt differently depending on who the family is. Amrei Abaye, so if that's the case, Ihachi, Gabi Eved Nami Yomru, Eved Nokev Margulis Shloshim, Evet Osamasam Echet Shloshim. Sabai says something interesting, but then apply that to other cases of Knas. We saw yesterday that if you kill, right? If the Shar kills an Evet Kanani, so what's the halacha? You pay 30 sloim. So if that's the case, again, if you kill an Evet who is, right, a diamond cutter, right, who's a diamond dealer, so if diamond cutter, so his value is worth much more. You kill an Evet who's just a manual laborer, his value is worth much less. Yet we see that the 30 sloim amount is the same across the board. Ela Amarav Zeira, top of Tes Vav, Ilu Ba Alea Shnaim, Echa Shlo Kedarka, Ve'echad Kedarka. Yomru ba paguma chamishim ba shlema chamishim. We'll say if she were to be violated by two men, one kidarka, one shelo kidarka. Remember again, technically, if a man were to violate her shelo kidarka, she would still be a basula, and therefore again, still the second man would still be subject to the fine. But yet again, if it was the reverse, that would not be true. So you see again that ultimately the impact of the violation is different depending on her circumstances. Amar le'abaye, ihachi gabe eved nami, yomru bal eved bari shloshim, eved mukah shchin shloshim. So Abaye says, same thing. Well, if that's the case, that you're going to tell me that the penalty payment vis-a-vis the girl depends on her personal circumstances, then halacha l'maisa, why not make the same argument by the eved? You could have a more valuable eved and a less valuable eved, yet we see that it's the same 30 sloim by the eved, independent of his circumstances. Ela amar Abaye, amar kra. Therefore, Abaye says, the pasuk says, Tachos asher ima. I will say, when the Torah speaks about the 50 sloim penalty payment, it explicitly says, why does he pay the 50 sloim? Because ultimately, again, he afflicted her. Which tells us that the penalty payment of the 50 sloim is for the act of violation. Michlal di'ika boshes upegam. Which tells us that there are still additional payments of boshes and pegam, of humiliation and depreciation. Rava Amar, Rava says the Amakra, because the pasuk says, V'nasana isha shochiv ima. The pasuk says the man who sleeps with her will pay ultimately the 50 sloim. Hanoas shchiva chamishim. For sleeping with her, for violating her, ultimately he pays the 50 sloim. Mechlal di'ika milsa achrisi. Which tells us, indicates to us that there is indeed another payment. Umay nihu, and what is this additional payment? Boshes upegam, humiliation and depreciation. Rabbi will say, and this indeed is the halacha. The 50 sloim penalty payments. Rabbi will say, this in general is a din in knas. Knas rarely takes into account the personal circumstances of the individual. That's why it's a knas, as opposed to mammon, right? Monetary payments often take into account the personalistic or individualistic circumstances of an individual. Knas is the same across the board. If a man violates a nara, there is a knas, a 50 sloim knas. Therefore, again, whoever the nara is doesn't make a difference. It is the same 50 sloim payment. But halacha l'maaseh, so the way we do paskin is, in addition to the penalty payment, there is also boshes and pegam. There is humiliation and depreciation. That is a subjective mammon payment that absolutely varies from person to person, depending on a whole variety of circumstances. Good. Mishnah. B'motzi shemra lahakel ulahachmir. So I will say, in case of motzi shemra, remember again, motzi shemra is a man who marries a woman. After the wedding, he claims that she was not a basula and that she committed adultery sometime after erusin. Right? So the halacha is, ultimately, again, if he's found to be lying about it, then halacha lamaisa, there's a double penalty. Number one, he's never allowed to divorce her, and she could want out of the marriage, but he's never allowed to divorce her. And there's also a financial penalty paid to the father. So the Mishnah says, "B'motzi shemra lahakel ulahachmir." In the case of motzi shemra, there is a kula and a chumra. What's the kula and the chumra? Kesad echad shahotzi shemra al gedola shevekuna val ketana shebi Yisrael nosein me'asela. So we'll say whether a man is motzi shemra, whether his wife is from the most miyuchas family, right? She's the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, or she's from the simplest Yisrael family. It's the same 100 sela that the husband pays to the father of his wife. So again, it's a knas payment. Because it's a knas, it doesn't take into account her individualistic or personalistic circumstances. However, again, nimtza, I'm sorry, no zimei asela. Fine. So also remember again, that could result in a chumrah, that could result in a kula, right? If she's from a very miyuchas family, a very, very noble family, so that represents a kula. If she's from, or I should say that represents a kula. If she's from a very simple family, could represent a chumrah. It's the same 100 sela across the board. We'll say this leads the Mishnah to make a remarkable observation. Nimtza. Ha'omer b'fiv chumra min ha'ose maisa. So says the Mishnah, we see something remarkable, that you see that someone who speaks in a slanderous way, that's even worse than doing something negative. How so, Rabbi say? Now, the reason the Mishnah says this is because of something amazing. If a man violates a woman, salocha lamaisa, the penalty is 50 sloim. If he's motzi shemra, ultimately the penalty is 100 sloim. Which is so interesting, because Moshe Shemra is Dibor. it's speech, right? At the end of the day, violation is action. We're going to see that there are fundamental reasons why there is a distinction like this. First of all, again, on the most basic level, it's very important, shalom bayis din, which is a trespass committed against one's wife is the worst type of infraction a person could do. Right? Ultimately, again, the job of a husband is to protect his wife. The job of a husband is to cherish his wife. The job of a husband is to make his wife feel like the center of the universe. And a husband who does not do that is fundamentally abdicating his responsibility. At the end of the day, therefore, there's the highest knas that exists in the Torah for such a circumstance. But we'll see other reasons for it in just a little bit. But nevertheless, the observation is quite remarkable. Here we see a higher knas for speech than there is ultimately, again, for action. And says the Gemara, when it says the Mishnah, we find other examples of this. So both say the timing of this is incredible. Shechein matzinu, shelo nechtam gezar din al avosinu b'midbar, ela al lashon hara. And we'll say, furthermore, we see that the gezar din, right, the decree on our ancestors to wander the desert for 40 years was sealed because of Lashon Hara. A reference, of course, to the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies. Incredible. Shnei Amar, Vayinasu Osi Zeh Eser Pamim. Because as the Pasuk says, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, these people have tested me 10 times, right? The Meraglim was not a Kadosh Baruch Hu's first rodeo with Klal Yisrael, right? Remember again, there were 10 times before it. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, despite all of that, I never condemned them to dwell in the desert. But after the Chet HaMeraglim, which was a Chet of Lashon Hara, which we'll discuss, that's what sealed the fate. So the Gemara says, you see from here that what? That sometimes infractions committed with speech are even worse than things that you do with actions. An incredible, incredible yisod. To which the Gemara says, one second, Mimai. The Mishnah makes a dramatic statement, namely that what? That halacha lamaisa, you see that an infraction committed with speech is much worse than anything you do with action. Vaharaya, motzi shemra is a 100 sela penalty versus ones, violating omen, which is 50 sela. Maybe not. Mimai dilma mishum dekagarim laktala, dechsib. Remember again, maybe there's a different reason. Maybe by Motzi Shemra, the reason why there's 100 slot in penalty, Abu says why? Because if it turns out that he was able to convince a Beis Din of his claim, what would have happened to her? She would have been killed. Right? Remember again, he's claiming she committed adultery. That is a crime which is punishable by death. Maybe the reason why there's a heightened knas is because his claim carries with it the specter of a death penalty. That's why it's a higher knas. Amarava, Rava said, Amakra, Kihotzi Shemra. The Pasuk says, because he established, literally again, Hotzi Shemra, he gave her a bad name, Al Shemra Shahotzi. Why is there a higher knas? The Pasuk itself says, because ultimately he went ahead and he gave her a bad reputation. So indeed, the Mishnah's assertion is correct, that we see that under certain circumstances, even though again we normally assume that action is always more severe than words, sometimes words themselves could leave a greater lasting impression. And as such, again, the penalty for Motzi Shemra ultimately, again, will be greater than onus. So we'll see. It turns out that at least Part of the hashkafa for HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us a higher penalty for Motzi Shemra, more than Onis and Mefata, is to highlight this yisod that words matter. That words matter. That at the end of the day, as much as we think, and we think action is the ikar, which is true in many areas, words make an impact as well. V'harayo, your mere words will generate the highest level knas. V'chematzinu, another example of it, so where words matter. V'chematzinu shalom nechtam gzardin. So let's remember again, so in terms of bringing up, where do we see that words matter? Because Klal Yisrael's fate to wander the desert for 40 years was sealed only in the aftermath of the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies, which was a sin with dibor, a sin with speech. You know, they committed many averos beforehand, which were actional averos. Nevertheless, their faith was still because of speech. Mimai, how do you know that it was the Chet HaMeraglim that sealed their faith? Maybe, Dilma Dakati Lamale Sason, we'll say maybe it's not the pshat that it was the Chet HaMeraglim that sealed their faith. Maybe it was just techita maraglim that kind of finished out the measure. In other words, it was the chet maraglim that tipped the scales. But in combination with all the previous averus, after all, Domra Famuna, Ena Kodesh Baruch Hu Nifra Mina Adam, Ela Adshe Tismale Sasso. Because after all, we learned that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not go ahead and punish a person until literally his measure is filled. Which means that at the end of the day, Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're actually going to see this in Mesilas Yesharim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish us for every single Avera that we commit. This is actually one of the greatest manifestations of divine compassion. What ends up happening is HaKadosh Baruch Hu only punishes us after our measure is filled. So there's a sin measuring cup that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. There's a scale. Only after you get to the top of that does punishment occur. So maybe it's not the pshat that chetim raglim by itself was the sin that sealed, but rather again, kind of chetim raglim is what topped off the other averus, ultimately causing the gzardin, shenemar, bimalos sveko yatzerlo, omer shalgish omakra, vainasu osi ze eser pamim, al ze nechtar gzardin. To which Leish Lakish says, Rish Lakish darshins the words that it was this avera that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said I simply cannot ignore. The other averas, maybe even Chet HaEgel, I was able to turn aside, I was able to look away. This avera of Chet HaMeraglim, I cannot look away from. It was this avera that sealed our fate. Tanya, Amar Rav Elazar ben Parta, both said this is, now we're going to get into the sugya of Lashon Hara. Based on, just to understand the progression, based on the fact that the Gemara explained that Motzi Shemra was the highest level Kenas, which tells us that words matter. Where else do you find that words matter? The paradigmatic example of that, Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies. Now the Gemara says, okay, let's broaden this a little bit to a general conversation of Lashon Hara. So I'll just point out something very interesting. We're going to speak a lot about Lashon Hara today. It's actually not going to be until tomorrow's daf that we define the parameters of what is Lashon Hara. Because as we know, we use that word. There's a lot of different subcategories of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, Rechilis, Motzi Shemra. We kind of call it all Lashon Hara, slanderous stuff, but we'll actually see different halachic categories. So Tanya, Rav Elazar ben Parta, Bo'u re'ei kama gadol koach shel Lashon Hara. See how powerful, destructively powerful, Lashon Hara is. Minol, and from where do we know this? Mi miraglim, ultimately from the miraglim. Umah hamotzi shemra. Bosei first wide line test vav amud aleph. Umah hamotzi shemra al itzim va'avanim. Kach hamotzi shemra al chaver alachas kama v'kama. The miraglim just spoke about land, right? They just spoke about itzim va'avanim. They didn't malign any person, right? They didn't malign any nation. They just simply maligned the land, an inanimate object. Yet again, you see how devastating the circumstances were. If that's the result of speaking about land, then imagine the result of speaking about people. Mimais, honestly, how do you know that? Dilma, Mishra Bichani Bar Papa. Maybe the sin of the Miraglim was so severe because of the family. Don't Rabbi Chani Bar Papa. Davar Gadol Dibru Miraglim Ba'osa Shah. The Miraglim said something, Davar Gadol Ba'osa means, of epic, disastrous proportions. What did they say? Dichsev. Ki chazak hu mimenu. And I will say, because they said, when they said that ultimately again, that we cannot go into the land, why? Ki chazak hu mimenu. So the Gemara says, because literally again, the way we normally translate this pasuk is because they are stronger. Mimenu means from him. So we normally understand that from him is a reference to who? To the klal. They're referring to the nation of Israel, right? Ultimately, again, the nations of Canaan are stronger than the nation of Israel. Al tikri ki chazaku mimenu, ella mimenu, right? Don't read it as mimenu from the klal, but read it as mimenu akadosh baruch hu. Ella mimenu kiviyachol, balabayis in yachol lahotzi kelav misham. That even the balabas cannot take out his utensils from this land. So therefore, the Gemara understands over here that in fact, maybe what was so severe about the Chet HaMeraglim was that not just that they were speaking negatively about the land, but they were speaking negatively about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or more specifically, were ultimately casting aspersions on God's ability to perform that which He said He could perform. Ela Amar Rabba Amar Eish Lakish Amakra. So we'll say ultimately again, the pasuk says, the miraglim, those men who spoke negatively about the land died. Al dibas ha'aretz shotziu. So what do you see? The pasuk says explicitly, why did they die? Why did they die? They died because they spoke negatively about the land. So the pasuk explicitly says that the Meraglim died because of their slanderous speech about the land. So we'll say, so understand, the Gemara is not using this as an opportunity to teach us about the importance and greatness and how careful we have to be about Eretz Yisrael. That's understood. The Gemara is understanding this to mean as follows. If this is the punishment that you get for speaking about land, which is an inanimate object, then imagine the punishment for speaking negatively about another human being. Al dibas tanya, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Esen nisyonos. We'll say incredibly, incredibly powerful yisod, which also, by the way, we'll say is another important idea that how careful we have to be when speaking about Eretz Yisrael in general, right? That a person is never allowed to say something negative about the land. This applies. Today, Rav Cook writes about this extensively in Midbar Shur. You have to be so careful about how you speak about Eretz Yisrael. You go somewhere and you see garbage on the ground because maybe there's like the 17th garbage strike that week. Right? So you have to be careful about how you speak about Eretz Yisrael. Even when commenting on politics, you right there you have to be careful about Lashon Hara, right? About people. And I always say, but even so, you always a person can never say anything negative about the land of Israel. That's true, by the way, about the state of Israel as well. Because again, I'll say you could critique certain concepts as long as it never chas v'shalom comes as a slight against the actual land. That was the mistake of the Meraglim. But again, the Gemara is understanding it over here to mean something different. The Gemara is using this as a lesson to say, if this is the fallout for speaking about land, inanimate object, even Eretz Yisrael is inanimate object, right? Then can you imagine ultimately, again, the fallout for speaking about people? So the Gemara goes weiter. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Esr Nisyonos Nisu Avasinu L'Akadosh Baruch Hu. Well, this is incredible Gemara. So the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda says, our ancestors literally, again, tested God, tested. Put HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the ringer 10 times. Shnayim bayam, 2 at the Red Sea. Shnayim b'mayim, 2 times regarding water. Shnayim b'man, 2 times regarding the man. Shnayim b'slav, 2 times regarding slav. Achos b'egel, 1 time with the golden calf. V'achos b'midbar paran. What's the midbar paran is a reference to the Chet HaMeraglim. Shnayim bayam. We'll say, where do we find that Klal Yisrael tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu twice by the water? Number one, achas b'yirud v'achas b'aliyah. Well, this is actually quite amazing, right? One time when we were going into the water, one time when we were coming out of the water. B'yirida d'chsiv ha'mibli'in k'varim ha'mitrayim. Because when we were going down to the water, remember again, this before the water split. So Klal Yisrael says to Moshe, why did you take us out of Egypt? Are there not enough graves in Egypt that we have to die in the desert? Ba'aliyah, when we came out of the water, there was another issue. Kidrav Huna, Damrav Huna, Damrav Huna, Yisrael Osha Osabadar, Miktani Amunahaya. But we'll say Klal Yisrael came out of the desert, Miktani Amunahayu. They were of small faith. I'm going to give you a vart on that in just a moment. So we'll say, why were they of small faith? So the Kidiraba Bar Mari, Damrav Bar Mari, Maitichsiv, Vayamru Al Yam Biyam Suf, Vayoshiyem Laman Shmo. Klal Yisrael were rebelling against Kadosh Baruch Hu at that moment. Va'omrim, k'shem sha'anu ola mitzad zeh, kach Mitzrayim ola mitzad acher. And they said the same, they were complaining. The same way they were coming out of the sea on one end, we're sure the Egyptians are coming out of the sea on the other end. In other words, we haven't been saved. So what happened? Amar la Kadosh Baruch Hu l'sar shayam, palot osan li'abasha. The Shbaruch who says to the Sashem, the angel in charge of the sea, spit the Egyptian bodies onto the shore so that the Jews could see that the Egyptians were killed. Armand the father of Ribbono Shel Olam, Klum Yesh Evet Shenosin L'Rabba Matana, V'chozer V'not L'Himena. So the sea says to the Shbaruch who, Ribbono Shel Olam, is there such a thing as a master who gives a gift to the servant and then the master asks for the gift back? In other words, the Yam said, you gave me the Egyptians, now you want them back? So the Amar Lo, Chesh Baruch Hu says to the sea, poor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Sometimes you have to feel for God, right? Everyone gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu a hard time, right? The Klal Yisrael, the sea. Can you imagine? You're I'm God. What's the matter there, right? Mamish, the sea's giving him problems. The Klal's giving him problems. Everybody's giving him problems. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Sar Hashem, don't worry about it. And he knows in Lecha, Echad Umechza Shavahem. I will give you 1.5 times more. Amar the fun of Ribbono Shel Olam, Klum Yesh Evesh Etaveas Rabo. So the sea says, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, God, I'm not saying you're not good for your word, but how am I going to? I'm not going to have the chutzpah to ask you for it. Amar lo Nachal Kishon Ye Ariv. The Kishon Brook, ultimately again will be the guarantor. We'll say that's a reference ultimately again to the episode with Sisra. So remember again, by Mitzrayim it says that there were 600 chariots. By Sisra it says there were 900 chariots. Nachal Kishon is what swept away all of Sisra's chariots. So the Yam got 1.5 more times. Miyad Paltan Liyabasha. Then the sea, after hearing this, the sea spit the Egyptians onto the land. Dichsiv Vayar Yisos Mitzrayim Mace Al Yam. So we'll say, so therefore again, these are the two times that ultimately, again, Klal Yisrael tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Yam. One going down and one coming up, right? One going down, one coming up. So such an incredible... First of all, I'll just point out, you see that little diagram there on the bottom of Tosis. Tosis just making a very important point here. People think that Klal Yisrael crossing the Yam Suf means you come out one end, you come out the other. Klal Yisrael made a U-turn in Yam Suf, right? Ultimately, again, they went in one end, they made a U, and they came out the other end. They did not go straight across the Red Sea. That's not the way to get to Egypt. So ultimately, again, that's what Tosfos on the bottom. Let's say, I just say something very important, because this Gemara is very striking. Why is it striking? Here we're talking about, we started talking about the sugya of Lashon Hara. And yet, what does the Gemara say? That the Klal Yisrael, the nation who left Mitzrayim, were Miktane Emunah Hayu. They were small in faith, which seems such a strange thing. We're in the middle of a sugya of Lashon Hara, and we make such a damning statement, right, about the nation, about Dor HaMidbar. I believe Yitzhak Abraditcha says something so beautiful. He says, what does it mean when we say Dor HaMidbar, Miktane Emunah Hayu? He says, Miktane Emunah means something different. Miktane Emunah means, what does Emunah mean? Emunah means you believe. You believe in something when what? What does belief mean? I can't see it with my eyes, but I believe it. Miktane Emunah means they only needed a very small amount of Emunah. Why did they only need a small amount of Emunah? Because they were able to see something with their eyes. You don't need Emunah when you see man falling every day. You don't need Emunah when you see the sea split right in front of you. Miktani Emunah, says the Rebbe, is not a slight. It's just a statement of fact. They only needed to possess a very small amount of Emunah, because ultimately they were able to see the Nisim, the Niflos, in front of them every single day. I will say, why is this important? Because when Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, Zuchusa Yagein Aleinu, saw these words, he couldn't take the fact that Jews were called Miktani Emunah. So therefore he had to understand that phrase in a different way. That's what Avas Yisrael means. Avas Yisrael means when you go out of your way to see something positive in your fellow Jew. I can't, even though it looks negative, even though it doesn't look good, even though again things just, this doesn't seem to be anything redeeming about this person, you go out of your way to mamish find something good. Miktani Emunah can't mean lacking faith. Miktani Emunah must mean something different. That's Avas Yisrael. Next, Shnayim B'mayim. Two times Klal Yisrael challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu with water. B'mara u'berefidim. B'mara dichse v'ayavo maras v'layach lishtos mayim. Right, so Mara says they came to Mara. They couldn't drink water. Why? Because the water was bitter. U'kse v'ayalana ama moshe beref... Right, v'ayalana moshe. Berefidim, k'se what does it say? Berefidim. V'ayachanu berefidim v'ein mayim lishtos. K'se v'ayaraf ha'am im moshe. Fine, two times Klal Yisrael complained about water. B'man, shnayim b'man. Two times they complained about man. Dichse v'amadeis. Dechsev, Al Teitzu Vayetzu. The Pasuk said, right, when it came to man, don't go out to collect it on Shabbos. And what? There are people who went out to collect it on Shabbos. Al Tosiru, Pasuk says, don't leave over any man, Vayosiru. and people left over man. So you see again, two times they caused trouble with man. Shnayim bislav, two times Klal Yisrael complained about the slav, or I should say, two times was a complaint about meat. And both times it was satisfied with slav, one for consumption, one as a punishment. So the Gemara says, Rishon bislav, sorry. So Shnayim bislav, Rishon bislav, Ushteini bislav. Rishon b'shiftechem al siyah, basar bislav, sheni, v'asasuf asher b'kibar, asher b'kibar. Fine, so there are two episodes of slav in the desert. Be'egel, what happened with the chayta egel? Kiddi is here. Rabbi says, unfortunately, we know the sin of the golden calf. Be'midbar paran, what happened in midbar paran? Kiddi is here, as we discussed. That was the chayta hameraklim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mushra Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. May dichsiv, mayitin lecha, u'mayosif lach loshon remia. So say, what's the meaning of this pasuk that says? Well, this is actually quite amazing. Quoting over here, the pasuk from Tehillim, literally translated, it means like this: Ma'itin lecha, what can I give to you? Uma yosef lecha, and what could I add for you? Lashon remia. Lashon means deceitful tongue. What more could I give to you? What more could I add for you? Deceitful tongue. What does this mean? Amar la Kadosh Baruch Hu l'lashon. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the tongue, Kol eivarav shel adam zekufim va'atamutal. All the other limbs of a person are upright, and you, tongue, are laying down. All other parts of the body are external, all the other limbs. And you are in the inside of the body. Says the tongue, I've made for you two walls to protect you. One made out of bone, that's ultimately a reference to the teeth. And one made out of flesh, that's a reference to the lips, or as Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the tongue, I've given you ample opportunity to protect yourself from doing negative things. What more could I give you? What more could I add, you deceitful tongue? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, tongue, I've done everything in my ability to keep you from talking in negative, slanderous way. Right? You lay down instead of standing upright. I put you inside of the body instead of outside. I've given you two layers of protection, the teeth and the lips, and yet you are still a deceitful tongue. Yet you still speak negatively. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Rishon Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Kalam Asapar Lashon Hara, Rabbi says very profound, Kilu Kafar Be'ikr. If you speak Lashon Hara, it is as if you negate the existence of God. Shene Emar, because the pasuk says, Asher Amru, Nagbir Svasinu Itanu Mi Adon Lanu. Says the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim, literally translated, they say, right, our Lil Shonenu, our tongue will be strong, our lips are with us, who is master over us? Now the Pasha Pshat is that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, what they're effectively saying is, God doesn't hear what I'm saying. In other words, no one would actively do something that would anger God. So when I do something that angers God, effectively I am denying, I'm assuming that God does not hear. God does not know. So therefore, when a person speaks Lashon Hara, so what they're saying is, I'm in control of my mouth, I'm in control of my speech, God doesn't really monitor this, and therefore it's Kilu Kafar Be'ikr. V'amar Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Kalam Asapar Lashon Hara, Migayim Ba'in Alav. If you speak Lashon Hara, you get Saras, Shene Emar, Milashani B'Sei Sereu, Oso Atzmis. Most of the Gemara here makes a whole drasha. Literally, he who maligns his fellow in secret, Oso Atzmis. He I will cut off, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Uksiv Hasam Litzmisus Umetargaminan Lechalutin. We'll say elsewhere we find the Torah use Lashon of Tzmisus. This is actually talking about by the sale of a home in a walled city. If you do not redeem it in the first year, it is sold Litzmisus. Unculus translates Misus as Chalutin, Utnan, Ein Bein Mitzorah Muskar, Le Mitzorah Mukhlat, Ela Prio Primus. So we'll say a little bit of a complicated drasha over here, which ultimately links a pasuk about Lashon Hara to a pasuk or to a statement in Chazal about Tzara. So we'll say, so to use Lashon of Atzmis, ultimately, again, by Lashon Hara, we find the word Tzmisus in the Torah, Unculus Darshins Tzmisus as Chalutin. And one of the forms of Tzara'as is called the Mitzorah Mukhlat. You know, Rabbosai, there is a different, when the Gemara tells us that Kalam Asapar Lashon Hara, Nega'im Ba'im Alav. Rabbosai, what it also means on a very basic level, you know, people who speak Lashon Hara, Rabbosai, you never feel good about yourself after speaking Lashon Hara, right? Even if it gives you, right? Even if it gives you a momentary high, right? Because you spoke negatively about someone, it leaves you feeling soiled, right? It leaves you feeling sullied. It leaves you feeling dirty. That's negaim ba'in alav. The same way that when a person has saras, a nega, there's blotches on my skin. When you speak Lashon Hara, you feel yourself at the end of the day filled with these negaim, these blemishes. So the Gemara goes, Vayit Amar Reish Lakish, Mai dichsiv, Zos tia Torah samatzora, Zos tia Toroso, Shamotzi Shemra. Zos Reish Lakish says, well, this is the Pasuk. This is the Torah of the Metzora. Mitzora Reish Lakish understands the contraction of Motzi Shemra. Va'am Reish Lakish, Mai dichsiv, Em Yashuch Anachash Belo Lachash, Ve'en Yisroel Lebal HaLashon. What's the meaning of the Pasuk? The meaning of the Pasuk in Koheles, right? If the snake will bite below Lachash, literally again without any Lachash, without any sound, Ve'en Yisroel Lebal HaLashon, there is no benefit to the one who speaks Lashon Hara. What does he know? This is incredible. La'asid lavo, in the future, Mashiach comes, Niskaptos kol achayus abos etzal nachash. All the animals get together and they come to the snake. Va'omros, and they say to the snake, Ari dores va'ochal. The lion, you know, the lion pounces on its prey to eat. Ze'ev toreif va'ochal. Right? The wolf pounces on its prey and eats. Ata mahana yeshlecha. So we'll say sometimes the snake just bites for the sake of biting. So the other animals don't understand the snake. In the rest of the animal kingdom, when an animal kills something else, it kills it for prey, it eats it. The snake sometimes just bites for the snake of biting. So the snake says, leave me alone. What do you want? Amar lahem, v'chi ma yisron abal ha-lashon. So the snake says, I just take my cue from the mesaper lashon hara. What a strong statement. So the snake says, there's someone worse than me, the mesaper lashon hara. The mesaper lashon hara just bites. And what does he get out of his bite? Absolutely nothing. So the snake says, the mesaper lashon hara gets nothing out of his bite, I get nothing out of my bite. V'amar Reish Lakish, kol mesaper lashon hara, magdil avonos al hashamayim. We'll say incredible Gemara. Reish Lakish says, whoever speaks lashon hara, literally again, he compounds his sin until it reaches the heavens. Shene emar, shasu b'shayim p'yem, u'lushonam talich b'aretz. Amar Rav Chisa amar ukva, kol mesaper lashon hara ra'i l'sok lo b'eben. Whoever speaks Lashon Hara should be stoned. Ksiv hacha, otso asmis, uksiv hasam, samsu babar chayai v'yado evan bi. Vam Rav Chisa amar ukva, kol mesaper lashon hara. We'll say first of the widest lines in the daf. Kol mesaper lashon hara, amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, if you speak Lashon Hara, God says about such a person, ein ani v'hu yecholen ladar ba'olam. Wow. Let's say a person speaks Lashon Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's not enough room in this town for both of us. Right? There's not enough room. Because we'll say, think about this. Why is that? We'll say, Lashon Hara, at the end of the day, comes from Gaiva. You only speak Lashon Hara if you feel arrogant, right? If you feel only an arrogant person has the chutzpah to speak Lashon Hara. Who says, you're a masapra Lashon Hara, you're pretty arrogant, you have a pretty big ego, there's not enough room in this world for both of us. Shnemar milashani b'sei sireyu, otsa asmis gevaynayim rachav levav, oso lo uchal, al tikri oso lo uchal, elo ito lo uchal. That's why, again, some have an alternate version where they understand, no, it's not actually talking about Mesaper Lashon Hara, rather it's about someone who's arrogant. When someone who is arrogant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's not enough room in this world for both me and the arrogant person. I'm Rav Chisda Amar Ukva, Kala Mesaper Lashon Hara, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'sar Shal Gehenam. If a person speaks Lashon Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the angel who's in charge of Gehenam, Ani Alav Milamala, V'ata Alav Milamata Nidonenu. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, L'sar Shal Gehenam, I will judge him from above, and you will judge him from below. So we'll say the Mesaper Lashon Hara gets a double judgment. A judgment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu above, and from the Sar Shal Gehenam below. Shnei Emar, Chitzei Giborim Shenunim, Im Gachalei Resamim. Ein Chitz, Ela Lashon. The Chitz ultimately, again, is reference to the tongue. Shnei Emar, Chitz Shachot Lishonam Mirma Daver. Vein Gibor Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gibor is God. Shnei Emar, Hashem Ki Gibor Yetzei, Gachalei Resamim. What does it mean when it says literally again, the coals of rosem wood, Hainu Gehenim. Am Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina. Ma takanos shom sarp lashon hara. It's an incredible Gemara. So what is the takana? If somebody speaks lashon hara, so what is their takana? So we'll say, now this is very interesting. According to this approach in the Gemara seems to be talking about someone who is a habitual offender. If I speak Lashon Hara, what should I do to remedy this? Say if you're a Talmud Chacham, learn. Torah is an incredible antidote of Lashon Hara, which supposed to make sense, right? If Lashon Hara is a manifestation of a swollen ego, right? If a Baal Gaiva, Torah humbles you. Torah humbles you. Learn Torah. Shenemar marfei lashon eats chayim. Literally, again, what heals the tongue is the tree of life. Vein lashon lashon hara. So lashon, the first lashon hara. Chet shachul lashon. Vein eats ela Torah. Shenemar eats chayim yilamacha zikim ba. Vein ama aretzu. What happens if a person is an ama aretz and therefore again I don't know how to learn Torah? So what should you do? Yashpil daito. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. So we'll say bottom line is humility is the antidote for Lashon Hara. See, if you're a Talmud Chacham, you know how to learn. Learn Torah. Torah will humble you. If not, find a different way to humble yourself. Shneamar v'salaf b'ashava ruach. Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina Omer siper in lo takana. Both say, now listen to this. Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina says no. This is good proactively, but if you're already speaking Lashon Hara, there is no remedy for you. If you already speak Lashon Hara, you're done. Shekvar karsu dav berach hakodesh. Because David HaMelech said that such a person who speaks Lashon Hara, there is no remedy for such a person. Shene emar, yachreis Hashem kol sifsei halachos, loshon medaberes gidolos. David HaMelech says, Chiddush Baruch Hu will go ahead and cut off kol sifsei halachos. Anyone who uses their lips to create divisiveness, Medaberes gidolos, he who speaks great divisive things. Elamata kanoso shelo yavo lidei lashon hara. So we'll say, interesting enough, in Rabbi Acha's model, if you're already speaking lashon hara, you're done. So you have to take proactive steps to make sure you don't speak lashon hara. So what's the proactive steps? In Talmud Chacham u yasok b'Torah v'ma'ama aretz yashpil daito. If you're a Talmud Chacham, ultimately learn Torah, and if you are an Ama Aretz, ultimately humble yourself. Shene Emar, Salaf Ba Shava Ruach. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Tz Hashem with the rest of this sugya with Lashon Hara. Emir Tz Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach. Incredible.